Monday, June 12th, marks the International Day Against Child Labour. An estimated 126 million children across the globe are currently working in dangerous or unhealthy conditions. That's one in every 12 of the world's children aged between 5 and 17 years old. Girls as young as 6 are forced to work as domestic servants in West Africa. Boys as young as 4 are trafficked to be used as camel jockeys in the Gulf States. And in South Asia, children are used as bonded labour in dusty brick kilns. They're forced to work long hours in brutal conditions and are denied all rights to education, rest and recreation. The International Labour Organization Convention on the Worst Forms of Child Labour spells out steps governments need to take to end this kind of work that is so harmful to a child's health and welfare. Yet even in countries which have signed the convention, children continue to suffer exploitation and abuse in homes, in fields and factories, or out on the streets.
The worst part about what they do is what you can't see. It's their separation from their families, the fact that they're isolated, they're discriminated against, they're confined, and they have lost their freedom, really.
Jonathan Blagborough is an expert on child labour with the world's oldest human rights organisation, Anti-Slavery International.
I think what's important for us is that we need to concentrate on these very worst forms, what we would consider to be child slavery. While people are very happy to work on issues around child labour in the mines and construction industry and commercial sex exploitation and things like that, people are tending to ignore some of these other child slavery issues, like children who are labouring to pay off family debts, children who are working as domestic servants, children who are forced to beg or trafficked for use as camel jockeys, for example. And we really want people to understand that, you know, these are just the very worst cases that we need to focus on.
These are perhaps the cases that it's most difficult to get accurate information about, because so much of this is very difficult to monitor, isn't it?
That is very true. It is very difficult to find out about these. These children are very hidden. They're very isolated. And I think that's one of the reasons why child slaves are often ignored, because the worst part about what they do is what you can't see. For example, I've recently come back from Togo, and I met a 13-year-old girl there called Amevi, who had been trafficked to the capital for child domestic work. And she's doing, you know, housework, cooking, cleaning, washing, ironing, childcare. But one of the most frightening things was her dependence on the employer and how isolated she was, which meant that she ended up being beaten and quite badly abused, and ended up being thrown out onto the street.
In what ways is anti-slavery trying to tackle this problem? Is it really working with the children to make them aware of the kind of rights they have and should be able to enjoy? Or is it continuing to try and raise international awareness of this problem?
It's both. We have, for example, successfully lobbied for laws to prohibit child slavery. Most recently, we managed to push through a law in the United Arab Emirates to stop the use of children as camel jockeys. But also it's about improving direct services for children to improve their lives directly, providing them with education through our partners, you know, giving them shelter, giving them legal and psychosocial support, which better protect them from exploitation.
Another area that we don't hear so much about anymore is the whole problem of child soldiers, children being caught up in conflicts in many different countries around the world today.
Yes, children caught in armed conflict, whether they're soldiers or whether they're being forced to provide services for the army, or sometimes being forced as sex slaves for the soldiers, is one of these issues which comes up in many different countries. We've got a lot of conflicts going on, and this has a particularly bad impact. Especially, it's not just about the scars that they have and the danger of their job when they're doing it, but the psychological scars that are with them for the rest of their lives.
Thank you. Now, all these forms, these worst forms of child labour, are actually outlawed. Children should be protected by the UN's Convention on the Rights of the Child. And yet, why is it that it is so difficult to monitor and stamp out this kind of problem?
As I said before, it's very hidden. It's also that governments feel that they have other priorities. Sometimes people are just not aware of these issues going on. And sometimes, as in the case of children who work as domestic servants, there's a perception that this kind of work is actually not so bad for children, that there can be a benefit for them. From our point of view, that's a total myth. And what people need to understand is the exploitation and abuse which these children are suffering from. But often it's that children are physically hidden, but also they're hidden in people's minds, and people just aren't seeing these abuses of child workers.
The perception would be that many of these children are actually a vital part of the family income, helping to support families and communities.
Yes, that is exactly right. And certainly employers, for example, see that they're actually helping a poor child, that they're providing a benefit, they may be giving a small income or just giving food and shelter for that child, and therefore helping the child and the family. However, the actual, when you look into it, the actual benefit to the child is nowhere. The child is denied education, the child is not being given any useful skills which will help them in later life, and they're just being used and being exploited.
Can you give us some examples, perhaps, of places or situations in which your organisation has been able to really make a difference? You mentioned the case of the camel jockeys in the United Arab Emirates, but maybe particular cases of children who you really have helped to get away from this kind of exploitation and abuse that you're talking about.
Yes, I can tell you, for example, about this 8-year-old boy that I met relatively recently from Pakistan, a boy called Iqbal, who was working in the training camps, training to be a camel jockey at 7 years old in the United Arab Emirates. You know, when we found him, he was beaten regularly. There was sexual abuse going on in the camps. He was isolated from other children of his own age, and he was, you know, one very scared child. What we've been able to do, along with other organisations, is to be able to get him back home. But not only that, but actually to be able to provide him with opportunities, which means he won't be re-trafficked. The other place that I work in quite a lot is the Philippines. And one thing that we've been doing there is helping the local partner to be able to run sort of halfway houses and shelters, that when children come off the ships, when they're coming from different parts of the Philippines, they're sort of stopped in order that they aren't trafficked into all kinds of nasty things going on in the capital, in Manila. And so, you know, helping that organization to be able to improve the work that they do. We also, where we do most of our work is on campaigning. And, you know, that's certainly the message that I would have for your listeners is, the most important thing of all for the public is to stand up and be counted. But one of the interesting things that we have been doing is getting campaigners to write letters in the Philippines to try and pass legislation to protect child domestic workers. And it was interesting, I was recently in the Philippines, and the aide to the senator who we'd been getting letters written to told me in confidence, he was saying, look, can you stop these letters, please? Because the senator was shocked to see all these letters coming from all over the world. But what he let slip was that it strengthened the senator's resolve to push the legislation, because the senator's just thinking, this isn't just a Philippines issue. Other people are watching us. And I think that's, that's a very important part of what we do, is actually making sure that governments and others realise that the world is watching them.
Jonathan Blagborough there of the London-based Anti-Slavery International.